Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonhomme, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
I want us to turn our attention today to Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29, which says this, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. This is one of the most well-known parables that Jesus told. Many of us probably used to sing the song in kids' church or Sunday school. You know, the wise man built his house upon the rock with the actions, the fist on top of the fist. Or is that just me? Who remembers? Who sang that one in your youth? There we go. I am not alone. And yet, as I read it over this last week or so in preparation for today, I noticed a word in there that I had never noticed before. The floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house. And the reality is, in life, we all go through storms. Sometimes those storms are a result of decisions and mistakes and things that we have chosen to do. But in this parable, it doesn't identify it as being a result of mistakes or poor decisions or anything like that. It is simply both the wise man and the unwise man both experienced the same level of storm, and the storm slammed against their house. Part of living is that we will go through storms. There will be challenges in every aspect of our life, into our financial and physical world. We just heard a story there of a man from Howe St. Andrew's campus who suddenly is faced with something that is not necessarily a result of a poor decision he made, but it is a challenge that he's facing and a storm that he is facing. And this parable is given for us to understand that there are two ways that we can respond in the middle of the storms of life. My wife, Natasha, is studying. Everyone welcome Natasha. My wife, Natasha, is studying a PhD in clinical psychology, and she's looking at the impacts of natural disaster, bushfire, drought and flood, upon 16 to 25-year-old Australians. And what is involved in that study is she has to interview, and now has interviewed, about 40 people, 16 to 25-year-olds, who have experienced the worst of the worst of these natural disasters. But in order to get connection with them, we tried all sorts of things. She went on regional radio to explain the study and said, get in touch if you want to be part of it. We got articles in regional newspapers saying the same thing, highlighting the study and offering, giving the opportunity for 16 to 25-year-olds to get in touch. And there was a few responses from those efforts. But as we came toward the end of last year, she was still well short of the number of people that she needed to study. So we decided that Warren would hop in the car and drive to some regional areas and literally go door to door and ask, is there a 16 to 25 year old who's experienced here bushfire, drought or flood? And my strategy was I'd first go to the head of the state emergency service in that area and I'd say, what are the worst affected areas? What are the worst affected streets? And I would then hop in my car and I would drive around, and because it was about 16 to 25 year olds, I would look for L plates and P plates. And as I drove around, if I saw a car with an L plate or a P plate, I would hop out of the car, knock on the door and say, have you been through a bushfire, drought or flood in this area? And as a result of that, we got our 40 people to interview. But what struck me as I just had these brief encounters, I mean, Natasha has now conducted interviews over an hour and a half or 2 hours with these people, and the stories that they tell of the impact. And at one stage I went down to Forbes, and there's a township about half an hour drive out of Forbes called Eugowra. And I'd heard that just 5 weeks before I went there, a massive flash flood had come through. We've got some images of it just to put on screen. The torrent of water as a levee bank gave way. And these people at 2 a.m. had this torrent of water halfway up their houses. And I drove out to Eugowra and had the amazing privilege of meeting some of these people, a mother who, with two children under the age of five, was on her roof at 3 a.m. in the morning, waiting for a helicopter to come across and winch her off her roof. There's a photo here of a white house. And as I went to the pub one afternoon and had a chat with the locals 5 weeks after, they all spoke about John's house that literally floated down the street. My strategy of driving around and finding L plates and P plates in driveways could no longer work because there was one field on the edge of town that must have had about 40 or 50 cars, all of which that had been picked up by the floodwater and washed through the streets of Eugowra and then dropped for some reason. I'm not a hydrologist, but for some reason they'd all been dropped in this one particular farm property on the edge of town. The impact of this suddenly brought a fresh awareness to me of what that word slammed could mean. As I went door to door in various areas, I heard the story of, in fact, I knocked on the door and the mother said, oh, look, I'm sorry, my two sons had cowered underneath a blanket in the lounge room of their house as it was completely surrounded by fire and they were convinced for half an hour that they were going to die. 3 years afterwards, as I knocked on the door, the mum said, it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm sorry, they're still in bed. They can't come and see you because of the impact that had occurred. And my question this morning to us is, what impact have the storms of life had upon us? It might be a relationship issue. It might be a business issue. It might be a family-related thing. It could be a health concern. It could be a disappointment, a sense of failure, whatever it is. What has been the impact of the storm of life that has slammed against your life? And let's not pretend this morning that we haven't been slammed in some way or other. There's not a person here because it is life. Jesus apportioned no blame in this parable. He's simply saying it happened. Scripture right through acknowledges that stuff happens, life happens, storms slam against us in life. Not one of us goes without facing a storm, two storms, three storms, storm upon storm upon storm. And it might be like a flood floating your house down the street, or it might be like the bushfire that blazes through and you're cowering in the lounge room under a blanket, wondering, and if your emotional experience, wondering, am I going to completely collapse in the next half hour? Will I be dead? Or it might be the drought. As Natasha studied this, the impacts of drought are so different to the others because drought is chronic. It requires change and an upsetting of family and life. The farmer who had a profitable farm, who's suddenly now having to drive trucks interstate to make money, and his farm is not productive at all. And so his teenage child can no longer go to school because they've got to stay home and run the family business. And the breakdown in family communication, is it the chronicness? Are you exhausted? Are you tired of just having to turn up every day and produce again for your family and produce again and face the difficulty and the challenge of day-to-day life? We all face storms. And it's not a thing of shame or blame to acknowledge that we do. However, there is good news in the midst of the storm. And in this parable, we read, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them. If we, in the midst of our storm, are able to hear God and obey. In fact, if you boil Christianity down, if you boil faith in Christ down, it is nothing more than hear God and obey. Today, if you hear the good news of Jesus Christ and respond, change will come into your circumstance. It will begin in your heart and in your soul as the Spirit of God comes and lives within you, and things will change from the inside out. The circumstance may not immediately change, but you will change within the circumstance because you'll have the Word of God and the power of God and the Spirit of God living within you to transform you, and through that, transform your circumstance and bless your family and those around about you. Romans 8 verse 28 says this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God is a good God, and he wants to bless you and help you in every circumstance of your life. And if we would just hear God and obey, hear and act, that is the message of this parable. And you may be saying this morning, well, I don't feel particularly in a storm at the moment. Things are going okay. Well, the point is, the wise man had heard the word of God and obeyed before the storm came. You may be in the middle of a storm. It's never too late to hear God's word and respond. But even if you don't feel in a storm at the moment, now is the time to secure the future. Now is the time to secure your life in the hands of a good God who loves you with a love that I don't even know how to fully express it to you, but that God expressed when Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead for you. In John 15, verse 16, we read Jesus speaking, and he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I look back on that and I think, I thought when I was a, 9-year-old boy and heard about Jesus, that I made a choice to follow him. And yes, that's true, I did make a choice, but before I could choose him, he had chosen me. He had set up the circumstances of my life for me to be in a situation to be able to respond to him. And if you're here this morning hearing these words, I guarantee you that Jesus has already been at work in your life, organizing circumstances for you to hear this word this morning, to be able to respond to his love and his goodness and go from this place transformed by the wonderful power of God in your life. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. For many years, I memorized that verse. It's been one of my favorite verses for years, and I stopped there. God wants my life to bear fruit. That's a good thing. It's purpose. It's blessing. It's fulfilling the purpose and calling of God. And that my fruit would remain, that I might be able to have impact, not just in this temporal world, but that impacts eternity. But then it says this remarkable thing in John 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, I chose you, and I've appointed you that you'd go and bear fruit, that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. Understand what that is saying. You can have a prayer life that God is able to hear and respond to. That whatever you ask of the Father in my name, Jesus said, will be given to you. It's a matter of alignment. If we align our life with the purpose of God for us, it begins initially with surrender to what Jesus has done, dying on the cross, rising from the dead, that we might know his life in our heart. And as we align our life with that, we know that yes, we've chosen him, but before that he chose us and then he's appointed us. Every single person under the sound of my voice today has a purpose and a calling that comes from your Creator God. And as we align with that purpose, the miracle that whatever we ask, arising out of that purpose, will be granted by our Father in heaven. An example of that for me just recently was, I was standing beside my son's cricket game, talking to a dad that I hadn't really had a conversation with before, and he started to say, he's not a believer in Christ. And he'd started to say how he'd lost his job and for a lengthy period now had been looking for a job. And I said, I'll pray for you. Believing that there was a sense of timing about us having that conversation. So the next day, I prayed for him and I sent him a text message. And as I prayed, I just felt that God spoke to my heart and said, within 2 weeks, he's going to have an amazing provision. And so I texted him and said, hey, I was praying for you this morning and I just want to encourage you. I believe God's going to provide a job for you and it's going to be out of the blue and it's going to be more than you've imagined within 2 weeks. Well, every morning after that, I was praying, saying, Jesus, please. Well, it's like we type of out there now, you know. God, this is up to you. God, this is up to you. I either misheard you or it's you, God, and if it's you, you're going to have to do it. Every morning for 2 weeks, then 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. And then he texted me, and we had exchanged a few texts along the way. But he texted me just a couple of weeks ago. This was 5 weeks after the initial conversation. And he said, Warren, you will never believe what happened. 2 days after you sent me that first text, I was offered a job to be the CEO of an Australian New Zealand business. And we've just been going through the process and I've just received confirmation that I got the job. It is out of the blue. It's doing something different to what I was used to. But 2 days after was when the opportunity came, and now I've got the job. When you align your life with the purpose of God for you, you cannot lose for winning. Now, the next point is this. Jesus is never late. However, he does not always operate to our agenda. In fact, the Bible says his ways are beyond our ways. Therefore, how can we understand them? But he's never late. And we've got to remember, it's his timing. It's his agenda. It's his calling. It's his purpose on our life. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11. It says this, I again saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the warriors. And neither is bread to the wise, nor wealth to the discerning, nor favour to men of ability. For time and chance overtake them. Now, this is actually, it's actually a really interesting verse because you type of think it's saying go and roll a dice and get a result. But it's not saying that. The Hebrew word that many of the translations there translate as chance is, I can't pronounce it, I'm not even going to attempt to, but it's up on the screen. And it means occurrence, event, happening. It's literally, it happened. So the race is not to the swift, the battle is not to the warrior, neither is bread to the wise, nor wealth to the discerning, nor favour to men of ability, for time and happening, occurrence, overtake them all. In the New Living Translation, it says being in the right place at the right time. Now, when we align our life with the purpose of God for our life, Jesus is never late. He might not turn up when we want him to, but he's never late and his purpose is always outworked. And I could give you example after example after example after example. And I'm sure people all around this auditorium this morning and the people online could do the same. People who followed Jesus for a while when you've thought everything's been lost, everything's overwhelming, everything's beyond us, I don't understand, and then in a moment, Jesus can turn around decades of difficulty. I mentioned Natasha and her PhD. It was 9 years ago that she began studying psychology part-time. And while parenting our family and putting up with me and so on, she just worked away at it, worked away at it, worked away at it. It came to her honours year. She had to go full-time for that honours year. She graduated with first-class honours. And then to be... Yeah. I think the whole reason she did it was because she was married to me and still trying to work me out. But anyway, after first class honours, to be qualified as a clinical psychologist, you need to do at least a master's. So, leading student of the pack, first class honours, 14 university applications later, nothing, 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 nothing. The, what they call census day. It's the final day that you can be accepted. Nothing. And she's met with Heather Cartini, one of our wonderful pastoral care people in the church. If you want to know uncommon love, just go and meet Heather, just for a moment. Right, Carlo? And Tasha's distraught after all of this effort and being top of the class and first class honours, 14 applications, zip, nothing. And she and Heather prayed, and then Tash left the time that they'd spent together. While they'd been meeting, Tasha's phone had been switched off and a voice message had come through. As she left the meeting, she listened to the voice message. "Hi, Natasha. This is whoever it was from the University of New England. We've reconsidered your application and would actually like to ask you a question. As part of going for Masters, she had to propose what her research would be. Now, she had no idea that the University of New England was about to receive government funding to do a study into the impacts of natural disaster upon Australians. And this whole 16 to 25 area is the most under-researched area in terms of natural disaster. She's received this call and rung them back. And on the phone, they've said, "Would you consider upgrading from a master's to a PhD? We will pay all of your tuition fees and we'll give you a scholarship that will effectively mean you're a full-time or that you're an employee of the university and we're paying you a salary." "Well, just let me think about that for a moment. Did you say today was the census day?" In a moment, the timing of God. Jesus is never late, but sometimes he pushes the envelope really, really close. But that's what proves it's him. And that, since then, as she's been studying, you know, why am I doing this? Because it is so demanding. And I say, "Hey, Jesus has got you into this. You got to keep going now." I have a business that I ran a number of years ago and for 7 years haven't run it. And then toward the end of last year, we felt God was saying against me, kicking and screaming against it and so on, but just restart the business. And Tash, again, she's very good in terms of the timing of God. So I'm type of resisting this idea a little bit. "Oh, do I want to? Do I do?" And she meets with a lady here in the church. And that lady has a big development program about to happen and needs the painters on my team for it. So Tash comes home and says, "Hey, I got a job for you." And so we went and quoted it, got the job. That same day, there'd been a company a paint company that I used to get a lot of referrals from, that for 7 years, like I'd shut it down with them 7 years ago and said, "I'm out of business, no more referrals." Same afternoon, I got a phone call from just some random guy who says, "Oh, Warren, I've been to this paint company and they gave me your number as a referral to do the job." So on the same day, after 7 years of nothing, and some, "Okay, God, rightio, we'll do it." And I can tell you example after example after example after example, as could many people here, Jesus is never late. And it is time and the opportunity provided by God. You may think everything's over. You may think your last hope is gone, but you align your life with Jesus Christ and you will be on fire for an amazing future and a provision of God after provision after provision after provision. There's a passage of scripture in Acts chapter 8 where Philip one of the guys in the Bible is preaching in a particular area, and then we read Acts 8, verse 26. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." So this guy who's in the middle of a really productive ministry in one area gets told by God, go to the desert, to a particular road in the desert. So he got up and went, heard the word of God and obeyed. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. Can you grasp just how unique and out of the ordinary this situation is? There's an Ethiopian guy who just happens to have visited Jerusalem, who's reading the prophet Isaiah, going along a desert road, and God's told Philip to go out the desert road. Okay, I'll go to the desert road. And this guy comes and he hears him reading Isaiah. Now, why the guy was reading Isaiah, who knows? Because Philip says, do you understand what you were reading? And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? And Philip happens to say, well, glad you asked me that. The passage goes on and explains how Philip explains Isaiah to him. And then in verse 36 we read, so this Ethiopian eunuch is becoming convinced about Jesus. And then in verse 36, as they went along the road, they came to some water. So they're in a desert, going along a desert road. Philip's just over standing there hitchhiking for whatever reason, because the Holy Spirit's told him, or God's told him to go there. Asks if he understands. He happens to be reading Isaiah. Philip explains Isaiah. And then the guy says, there's some water. What would prevent me from being baptized? The timing, the circumstance. This guy did not choose Jesus. Jesus chose him and arranged the circumstance. And my question to each one of us today is, what are the circumstances that are in your life? Because I can guarantee you, if you are under the sound of my voice today, either in this room or online, I can guarantee you that you are not hearing these words by coincidence. And this is your opportunity this morning. And I appeal to you, I plead with you, do not miss the opportunity this morning to hear the word of God and act. And respond and say, yes, Lord Jesus, I open my heart to you to receive you into my life so that my life can be aligned with your purpose and I can walk out of this place and through the rest of my life knowing your blessing, knowing your timing, knowing your provision, knowing your love, knowing your goodness in my heart and my life. And that is the opportunity that's available for every person here today. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. And amazingly, he rose from the dead on the third day. We're about to celebrate that in 2 weeks' time at Easter. He is a living, risen, alive, active Saviour. And today can be your day to begin a relationship with him that transforms you and blesses your life, your family, your businesses, and everything that is part of your life. Let's pray this morning. My Father in heaven, I pray now that you would just stir our hearts toward you. Lord, that you'd confirm in each one of our hearts that this is a time. Now is a time that can lead to relationship with you and a blessed future. And just right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to pray a prayer. And maybe there are some here this morning and you've never prayed a prayer like this before. And I simply offer this prayer to you as an opportunity for you in your own heart and own mind to repeat these words and pray them to Jesus. And if you do, you will begin a relationship with Him. This is a private moment between you and the God who loves you. And I'd just like to help by offering you some words that you can pray to Him that will set your life wonderfully blessed and on fire for Him. I'm now going to pray. And with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would pray these words to Jesus, He will hear and He will respond. Lord Jesus, I thank You that I've heard Your word this morning. And like the wise man who built his house on the rock, I will hear Your word and I will act. And Lord, this prayer is the first act of me opening my heart to You. Please come and live within my heart and transform my life. I surrender to You, Lord Jesus. I give my life to You, Jesus. I give every storm that I am facing or will face in the future to You. And I want to build my life on the rock of Your word. I give my life to You, Jesus. Amen. Now, still just with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you did pray that prayer this morning as either a first time response to Jesus or maybe a recommitment, I'd just love to offer this opportunity just for you to quickly raise your hand so that I can see that you've prayed that prayer, and I'd love to connect with you after the service. Just anyone at all, just quickly slip your hand up now if you prayed that. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else this morning? Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else right across the auditorium so that we can just connect with you and help you and pray for you some more if you want. Anyone else, just quickly raise your hand now. If you prayed that prayer as a first time response to Jesus or as a recommitment, just in this last few moments now, just slip your hand up if you prayed that prayer. Thank you. Amen. You may open your eyes and thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.